This is the Android Buffet Podcast, episode number 443, recorded Wednesday, May 29th, 2019, in 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1.
You know, it occurs to me that I never really ever finished that song quite right because I'm not familiar with the song at all.
You don't know what song that is?
Yeah, I'm fully aware that you've told me like 47 times.
The song is When You Were Smiling.
Yes, okay.
It's not that. It's a very well-known public domain song.
Okay. I believe you.
Why wouldn't you? Have I ever given you reason to doubt me?
Not that I'll admit to.
Okay.
In public.
Okay, that's inspiring.
I'm happy to be of help.
So anyway, you said that you were having a long, tiring day.
The week. So, you know, it was a long weekend, right? So on Saturday, my wife and I and my daughter, we packed up in the car and we drove to Biloxi, Mississippi to pick up my daughter's brand new puppy.
Why would you go to Biloxi, Mississippi? Are there no puppies in Jacksonville, Florida?
Because the puppy that she wants was born, the puppy that she wanted was born in Corpus Christi, Texas.
Which is not Biloxi, Mississippi.
No, but the owner of said puppy was nice enough to drive halfway.
Okay. And why this puppy? Is there...
She likes wolves, and this is a Tamascan.
Okay, so she wanted a specific type.
Yes.
Okay. I don't know. I took a walk over the weekend that I passed by a sign that somebody had erected about puppy mills.
Yep. This is not from a puppy mill, though.
Good. Because the sign told me I should not like that.
Yes, puppy mills are bad. This dog is extremely well-adjusted. She's just a really good dog, and but you know, puppies are puppies, and my daughter is still in school, so my wife and I are taking turns with the nighttime potty duty, and it involves me staying up later than I like and her getting up earlier than she likes, so we're both pretty tired, but it's, you know, it's a thing puppies go through.
I have never had a puppy.
They're cool.
Well,
they're quite annoying to our older dogs, but, you know, they'll bond eventually. I
don't have any dogs.
I'm so sorry.
Well, there's a practical reason why. Well, my grandmother is deathly afraid of dogs, and therefore my mother is really somewhat scared of dogs, so I figure in a few more generations it might not be an issue. But right now, it is too nerve-wracking for the family to have one.
Okay.
Although my grandmother has calmed down, she doesn't scream quite so much when she sees a dog.
She might freak out if she came into my house.
Well, bear in mind, in defense of my grandmother, when she was growing up, when she would see a dog, it was attached to a soldier.
Okay.
So, not pleasant experiences.
And probably even German Shepherds.
Well, I don't know. They are popular with the military, aren't they?
Yep. And one of our dogs is a German Shepherd.
Either way, I think she's calmed down about little cute dogs, but I will point out that recently I went for a walk with my mother, who's one generation removed from that, and she crosses to the other side of the street when she sees a larger dog.
Some people just don't dig dogs, and that's cool.
Yeah, so when I was growing up, I couldn't have a dog, so.
I will say that dogs, I think dogs are a blessing. That's my personal opinion.
I'm just saying that there are too many people in my family who are nervous around dogs. Also, now that I'm at point in my life where I don't have to worry about that situation. Namely, if I really wanted a dog, I could deal with it. It just, my family would avoid coming over, which could
have... See? Secondary benefits.
Yeah, but I know how many plants I killed over the years and fish. I'm worried about killing a dog. Not intentionally.
Dogs do take attention. They do take time.
Yeah.
They are. It is kind of similar to having a kid. You have another living organism who is dependent on you for everything. Protection, food, health. I mean, it's a huge responsibility. But kind of like kids, only more so, it's more rewarding.
I'll keep it in mind if I ever decide to take the risk.
Living in an apartment, living in New York, working long hours outside the apartment. I mean, there's a lot of negatives for a dog in your particular situation.
Well, maybe I should start with something small. What's small and not a dog? What's like when you think of dog, what's like a starter animal?
There's no pet that is like a dog.
I don't know. I hear good things about guinea pigs.
No.
Okay.
Guinea pigs, cats, they're very independent animals, and they don't... I know some cats are different, and some people are cat people, and that's cool. But dogs give you a type of reciprocal love that is unequaled by any other pet. Of course, you know, there's a cost for that. They're dependent animals. They require much more attention than a cat does, for example.
So how about we talk about technology of some sort?
Okay. Anyway, if I'm not my normal perky self, that's why. I'm just tired. It's not y'all's fault. It's me, not you.
Well, I got a new thing that arrived over the weekend.
Is it a puppy?
No. I wanted to try out. I keep hearing about this. These ultra-thin USB-C chargers.
Really?
Yeah, apparently they are ultra thin because of, I was getting terminology, gallium nitride is the technology.
What's that?
Let's see, I have a thing here for that. Here we are. Chargers are transitioning from silicon transistors to gallium nitride, enabling them to shrink in size. So what I have here is, apparently it's the gallium nitride semiconductors are apparently more efficient and can be produced, which are far smaller than the most compact silicon devices.
Okay.
So I wanted to try one of these, so I picked up a Rav Power 45-watt USB-C PD charger, and it's about the size of an Altoid box, which is not bad because most of the other USB-C chargers I have are roughly the same size, and they can only put out 18 watts.
Interesting. Cool.
Yeah, and I look forward to... I did, you know, sort of plug something in here, but I look forward to seeing how it does on the road. The only negative is the form factor can be a challenge in some places. It's one of those chargers where the prongs fold up.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that's annoying to get into an outlet.
Do they not fold down?
They do fold down. I'm saying sometimes that is a challenge to get into an outlet.
Okay.
And very sad for me, Automatic has now... officially announced that I'm out of luck, as opposed to their previous statement that I was out of luck personally one-on-one to me. So Automatic makes a device that I've used as part of my smart home integration. So when it was on sale, I got myself the Automatic, what's now called the Classic, which is their, you plug this into the OBD port on your car, it pairs with your phone, and then it sends data about your driving.
Yes, that's cool.
Yeah, now they said that they're discontinuing support, but they haven't officially done anything with the thing in like 3 years. They maintained the app. Maintained mean the app was in the store and they didn't update it. So when I got the Pixel 3, suddenly I went to go download the app and it wasn't there. And then they told me, oh, by the way, we're not maintaining it anymore. You can't install the app and your device is useless.
Well, that's...
Yeah, but this was like... No, it's not today, but within the last couple of days, they sent me a note announcing this officially and saying that they'll give me a discount on their new automatic CCA adapter with built-in LTE connectivity. But there, instead of pairing it to my phone, it's free for the first 6 months, and after that, I can pay $5 a month. Also, there's the Select service, which is free for 3 years. So I could buy a... the promo code that they gave me is... I think will give it to me for like $50, and that'll get me 3 years of LTE support on the device, and then after that, it says that they may charge me. So I don't
they
know.
They may charge you.
Yeah, so their Select service, which is free for 3 years and then may charge me, includes crash alert, engine light diagnostics, maintenance reminders, driving history and insights, and cashless toll payment processing. If you're willing to give them $5 a month, they include real-time location and sharing, roadside assistance, parking tracking, smart home integrations, app integrations, and business expense sharing. So I like the idea of integrating my car into my smart home. But what I want to know is when is the car parked outside and when am I coming towards the house? So I really just want the trigger of I'm driving somewhere.
And is that worth $5 a month to you?
No.
Well, there you go.
But I came up with a solution. And it's an Android-based solution. Cool. However, isn't quite perfect. So I was I got a $20 device that plugs into the OBD port, which also does Bluetooth. It was the, you know, a medium-quality adapter. And I was able to find an app on Android called Dash, which is Drive Smarter. So it's the same sort of diagnostic and trip tracking that I got with Automatic.
Mm-hmm.
And they technically have a IFTTT channel if I wanted to just do it the simple way. But they also have an API. So if I wanted to, nobody's built an integration for it, but if I wanted to build an integration, I've started gathering data about they store gas data, driving habits, and of course alerts. And me, real-time car tracking in the sense that my phone is with me whenever I'm in the car is not an issue. But I need the trigger of knowing when I start my trip, when I end my trip, which I can do by it pairing with the Bluetooth adapter in the car. So I'm storing that information for future use with Dash, although I may try to find a different solution in the future. So my car knows where it's parked.
Cool.
Keeps telling me I'm accelerating and braking too fast, though. But I'm just annoyed at products where they tell me, oh, we've given you support. So they sold me a product that didn't require them to do anything except allow it to work. And they decided that even that level of support was not worth it. Anyway, moving along, you can apparently now create impromptu speaker groups on Google Smart Displays.
That's neat.
You know, I have one of those, and I do have several Google Homes, so I could make a speaker group.
An impromptu speaker group.
Well, as long as I'm doing the actual speaker control on the Smart Display. And I keep rotating where I keep my Smart Display versus where I keep my Google Home.
Mm. So you haven't found a good home for it yet?
Well, no, my needs change. Just to give you an example of how that happens, we've been recording this podcast for what now? About 9 years?
Yep.
And I've been recording it mostly, with, let's say, some rare exceptions, in this very room, correct? As far as you know, I've always been in the same
room. Sure.
Except when I've told you I'm not at home. So right now I am sitting in roughly the middle of the room. But over the years, the desk that I've recorded this podcast on has been on the opposite wall. It's been further to the right of where I'm sitting now. It's been further to the left of where I'm sitting now. I've moved the furniture in here several times over the last 9 years, as my needs have changed. So right now, the recording equipment is to the right of me. At one point, it was to the left of me. And again, there's a whole long, complicated reason why it's moved over the years, other than me and my indecisiveness. But again, things change. So I do move my equipment around based on me having new ideas about how I might best utilize it and new use cases. When we first started doing this, I used to work at home a lot more, so the room was configured for that. I don't work at home very much anymore. I took away some of the space that I had dedicated for that.
All right.
Let's see. Wyze is working on person and vehicle detection. So this is artificial intelligence for their cameras.
And they are outsourcing the classification, which is, you know.
Well, a lot of these companies sort of do. They've said
you kind of have to.
Well, you really don't have the resources to train this stuff yourself, so you get software that does it. So there are these companies that make the analysis software that you can incorporate into your product.
Mechanical Turk, but without the Amazon.
And remember what exactly Wyze is. Wyze is a company that sells a $25 or $35 camera. They added on some $20 sensors. They just announced an $8 light bulb. And by the way, I just saw that they're going to be selling at Home Depot. Oh, and they just finally got Google integration, so you can look at your Wyze Cam on your Google smart display.
Cool.
So I appreciate a company that's trying to keep their costs down. Admittedly, there's some things I wish they would do differently. At least they have RSTP support now. So I can watch the one camera I've reconfigured from where I'm sitting now instead of having to go into my phone and get the Wyze app running. So the one that I have configured is a security camera that's outside, not outside of the building. It's an indoor camera. But it's the one that watches to see whether or not somebody has invaded the secure area outside of my residence, but inside the building. So I'm going to try to hook up some of the rest of the cameras. And then I can watch them on the Google Home.
Yay!
Let's see. There was this interesting article from Ars Technica and Ron Amadio on what Ron specifically felt were highlights of Android at I.O.
Mm-hmm.
And he came up with some interesting ones that I don't think we talked about, so I thought I would reference the article. He focused on improvements in the gesture navigation system. So currently, the Android P has two-button navigation, and the recent apps button was now a gesture.
Yeah.
They're saying that in the next version, the navigation bar has been minimized on the basis that you now have these gestures. And for home, you would swipe up from the bottom of the display. For recent apps, swipe up and hold. And for back, swipe in from either side of the display. You can also switch between your last two apps by swiping up from the bottom and moving the app in an arc to the right.
Yeah. I think I want my buttons. I'm too old to be learning all this new
stuff. If they were smart, what they would say is that that's a setting. Hide the buttons and go for gestures, or put the buttons there. And I'm sure somebody will comment on this. But remember, most of the time, and I have a phone here, when you're in an app, do you really need the buttons? Or would swiping up work for you?
No, I want the buttons.
Okay. So again, why can't that be a setting between the people who want the buttons and don't? I don't know what I want. I'm saying that as somebody who hasn't tried this new buttonless system.
Yeah.
And remember, there's always the squeeze your phone.
To do what? Squeezing my phone brings up Mr. Assistant.
On mine too, but what I'm saying is that you could do something like that. There's more than one option. The other things that Ron seemed to center on, although I don't know if I should call him Ron, as I've never met him. Maybe I should be respectful and say, but also Project Mainline, which we did talk about, which is this idea that they keep breaking off, and they've been doing this for years, breaking off system parts of the OS so that they can update it without actually having to wait for an OS update. So they started this when the Android system apps became updatable from the Play Store. And then they moved to Treble, which tried to isolate parts of the OS, but they keep doing it component by component.
Which is excellent, because that makes it easier to be updated.
Yeah. So I think it's going to be interesting when they finally get to the end of that project. So the article is worth something of a read if you want to see what he thought was important. The other one was dual booting. So dual booting Android is going to be a thing in the future, where you can dual boot between two different versions of Android.
Okay. I mean, I'm sure somebody wants to do this, otherwise they wouldn't. They would not spend resources on it.
I think this is for development, mostly. So if you want to run a development version and still have the stable version installed on a separate partition, you can. I don't think people want to, if a beta version isn't working properly, to have to deal with it. They need to switch back to their stable one. But they still need to develop for the new version. Anyway, Chrome sync capabilities may be extended to Wi-Fi passwords.
Oh, no.
Well, it's something of a security issue, isn't it?
I think so.
But that's why you can turn it off.
Oh, nice.
Well, it's not like anything else. If you don't want to sync something, you just tell it not to sync it. Also, Android apparently started heavily throttling Wi-Fi scanning in Pi.
I wonder if that's for battery usage.
Well, so here's sort of the issue. It limits the number of times an app can perform scans. And the problem is that there are apps that include things like access point inspection, signal strength measurements, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And Google apparently advised that they installed limits on how many times they can do this to improve network performance and battery life, unless it's a system application. So the argument is that they're trying to save battery life, but yet people who downloaded an app that does signal strength checks know that that's going to be a battery-intensive app.
Yes.
So, again, disappointing. Although, according to this, a Googler posted that you could disable Wi-Fi scan throttling in queue. So they will allow a toggle to disable it for people who wish to.
So many options.
Well, back to now you have to teach people about that option.
Do you?
Well, it won't turn it off automatically. You have to do. Although I did enjoy some of the comments on this.
Really? Like what?
Well, I occasionally enjoy a nice snarky comment. Yeah, it really sucks that I own a $1,000 flagship Pixel 3 phone, but can't use it for any Wi-Fi scanning app or with the Mall of America's app that gives me real-time in-building navigation and maps to the stores in the huge mall. Nope, I have to rely on the old-school You Are Here physical kiosks in the mall or bring along a four-year-old inactive phone with an older version of Android so that the app will work. I also keep that phone around for use with the Wi-Fi and network scanning apps. There is no reason why Google cannot have an option to allow the user to exclude certain apps from this lockdown behavior.
Apparently in queue.
Yeah, but that was after public outcry. It took public outcry for them to reverse on this one.
Or just feedback.
Well, Google, it would be nice if they actually thought about what the public wanted and maybe asked occasionally, rather than just waiting until somebody gets upset about something. But I believe in data-driven decision-making dealing with a product that other people use. So when I'm trying to make a decision about something that involves other people, I occasionally try to ask other people. The problem is I think Google only asks people who are embedded in Google what they think would be a good idea. And I have no indication that Google occasionally goes out and surveys actual users. Moving along, Samsung's new USB PD 100-watt chips may finally bring ultra-fast charging to the Mac.
That's super cool.
Well, I like new charging technology. So Samsung is introducing some power management chips that put a priority on encryption. So their controllers for Type-C connections are compliant with Power Delivery Revision 3. And 3 allows the power supply to adjust potential in 20 millivolt steps, which allows the supplier to more gently ease between different charging profiles and reduce any impact on batteries. And both of these new chips have flash memory to take in firmware updates to the charger. It's the first power chip to integrate a secure element to store keys for USB Type-C authentication to act as a DRM checkpoint or other content or activity padlocks.
On a charger.
Yeah. Not a big fan.
All right.
Well, the question is, and is that authentication for the charger, or is it that the same chip that's running the charging can also do authentication for data connections? So I know it's DRM for Type-C devices, and it's hardware DRM. My question is, what are they protecting us against? According to this, it empowers vendors to protect consumers against non-compliant USB chargers.
But it's in the charger.
Yeah, but it could also make it so that you have to buy a charger from the original manufacturer. Look at Pixel. The Pixel 3 will charge with any wireless charger. However, it will not charge it as fast as if it is on the Pixel charger. There, back in the old days, I remember Motorola used to disallow any mini USB back in the day. Any charger that wasn't theirs would flash a message on the screen, non-compliant charger, and refuse. So if you're using your authentication to make sure that your charger is safe, fine, but if you're not allowing any third-party chargers, because you've deemed everything but your first-party chargers are unsafe, then that's a problem.
Well, is it?
I'm reluctant about DRM.
Because, I mean, how can you tell if it's not going to blow up your phone? I mean, I don't know.
Well, let me ask you a question. Have you ever drank coffee?
Sure.
Have you ever used a Keurig?
Yes.
How do you feel about the fact that the people at Keurig tried to make it so that you could only use their coffee pods or in their device?
I get it.
Okay, what about a printer? Only using approved ink cartridges.
I get it.
Yeah, but should companies be able to do that? Prevent you from using your own property in a manner that you wish? Now, saying that doing so may mean your warranty would not be protected and your experience might not be the same is perfectly acceptable. However, saying that they will prevent a device that you have lawfully purchased from being used in the manner you wish so that they can sell you something seems inappropriate.
Well, is it so they can sell you something, or is it so that they can ensure a optimal experience?
What would they say, or what would more cynical people say?
I'm just saying that's... We don't want you to use it in a way that is going to give you a bad experience, so you are unhappy with the device. So we will ensure a positive as possible an experience.
I bought it. It's none of your business. It's my property. But
they want you to buy it again.
Yeah, and if I'm unhappy
with it, they want to keep you as a customer.
By making me do something I don't want to do?
You are also fully free to not buy their stuff. That's kind of how capitalism works.
Yeah.
If you don't like their
well, I'm just more
if you don't like anything about the experience or the product or the company, then you should vote with your wallet and go elsewhere.
Yeah, I'm
not talking about that. So should they be allowed to? Absolutely. And should people be allowed to not buy their stuff because they don't agree with it? Absolutely. So the answer to your question, do I like it? I may not like it, but I absolutely respect their right to do so.
Well, I'm more talking about their motive.
I don't care about their motive.
If their motive is creating a good experience for me, then I can accept that. If their motive is that they want to lock me into certain purchases on their part, then I don't respect that motive.
You realize that Keurig is a business, and a business has one goal, a single goal, and that is
to make money.
Make money.
Yeah. But again, every business has to make decisions as to where, you know, how they're going to conduct themselves. Businesses are made of people.
Okay, in the sense that America is made of people.
Again,
people in the company may want a thing. People in America may want a thing, but that does not mean that the company wants a thing.
Again, I would like it if it worked that way. That companies felt that they had a responsibility to their customers. As opposed
to maybe they do.
Opposed to merely a responsibility to their shareholders.
How does that change anything from your point of view? If the end result is the same, then why does it matter what the motives are? See, this to me is like making a difference between incompetence and malice. It doesn't matter if the person is incompetent or if they're doing a bad job on purpose. The result is they're doing a bad job. So they're untrustworthy, so go elsewhere.
I understand your point of view. Again, I want to feel good about products I purchase. I want to have an emotional investment in something.
Okay. The majority of their customers probably just want coffee.
Okay. By the way, I don't drink coffee, so Keurig may not be the best example for me. Anyway, Firefox 67 added speed improvements for desktop and a search widget on Android.
Search widget. Interesting.
Yeah. Well, there's a Google search widget. Why not?
No, it's awesome.
Android Messages has now over 500 million installs. I'm still not using it because it is not working with Project 5 fully, last I checked.
Wow.
I don't like losing support for things in order to get other things. I don't need the support that they're giving.
Cool.
Also, I don't send that many text messages. But
cool.
Maps apparently is adding a route preview to their commute notifications. Not everybody has this, but the screenshot looks nice. That if you pull down their how many minutes to work notification, it'll show you a map. This won't work for you.
Fancy notifications.
Yeah, as I said, this won't work for you.
It'd just show a dot.
Yeah, pretty much. Jerry is at work. Jerry is at home. Where did Jerry go? He walked 2 paces.
To be fair, it's I walk a lot more now than I did before.
Within your residence or in general?
Yes.
I'm trying to walk more outside of my residence.
It's a significantly longer walk from my office to the kitchen now.
Yeah, but I have been trying to walk around now that the weather's getting nicer here. The other day I decided to take a walk around the office I've worked in for some... And do you know what I found out?
What?
We have neighbors. There's a gentleman who works as a janitor in the building that I work in, who finds it hilarious that I've worked in the same building for years and have never been above the first floor. I tried to explain to him that I work on the first floor, therefore there was no reason for me to go to the second or third floor. So guess what I did?
What'd you do?
I took a walk.
To the second and third floors?
No, I still haven't done that. I took a walk around the building.
Ah.
As I said, we have neighbors. But sometimes it's nice to just walk around an area you think you're familiar with.
Yep.
I walked around my own home neighborhood where I live, and I walked down blocks that I had not walked down before. You know what I saw on those blocks? Houses. Wish I could say there was something really shocking about that. But speaking of New York City, since I was, Google Pay is coming to New York City on select transit routes.
Interesting that it's only on select routes and not, select stations.
Well, again, that's how they're doing the... If you think of it this way, if you're trying to do a pilot program, you need to cover an entire section. So the program is going to start with Staten Island buses, and then one particular set of lines between two different stations. So it's not covering an entire subway line. It's actually only covering the 4, 5, and 6 between Grand Central and Atlantic Avenue, which is not the full stretch of the line. That's a big chunk of it. So that'll give them some opportunity to see how the system works before they roll it out to more stations. Also, apparently I can ask my Google Assistant when the next train is. Because what I really want to do when I'm standing in a subway station is pull out my phone and talk to it loudly in public. Isn't that what you want to do when you're in public? Ask your phone questions?
I try and avoid being in public.
Yeah, but it seems like an inappropriate place to have a conversation with your Google Assistant.
Maybe.
Well, let's see what else we have. Apparently an Apple executive has dismissed the criticism of Sundar Pichai, claiming that companies like Apple, although he didn't specifically mention Apple, are turning privacy into a luxury good.
Interesting.
Yeah, I didn't mention the original criticism, so I thought I would mention this, where Apple saw that particular comment was addressed at them. Probably was, but is that's sort of the question. Is privacy a luxury good? Are we paying for all of these services we're getting for free with our privacy?
Yes.
Is that a bad thing?
I think it's a bad thing if you don't realize you're doing it.
And Google just sort of made this entire effort, some of which I approve of and some of which I don't, to make it very clear that you have control. The difference between Google and Apple is that Apple has said, okay, we're going to make privacy a feature. We're not going to do anything. Google's philosophy is we're going to make privacy a option. So if you don't want to tell us this stuff, you don't have to. If you want to tell us this stuff but have us erase it on a schedule, which remember they just recently did, they said they'd do that. So they're trying to respond by not walling themselves off from learning stuff about their customers because that's how businesses work. They learn stuff about people. But they're saying, well, we don't really need to keep it forever. So if you want us to get rid of it or if you want us to remove certain parts of it, then we will. And I'd rather have that because I want my devices to be useful. I don't want a device that knows nothing about me. I want a device that knows something about my behavior. I just want some limits on what that actually allows it to do.
Sure. Seems reasonable.
Yep. So that brings us to the end of our program for this week. You know, I would bring up some other things, but I will save them for next week on the basis that you are tired due to puppy.
Yep. Now, keeping in mind that I'm not likely to be, well, maybe I will be because my daughter will be out of school and she can assist with night times.
We are scheduled to do another show on June 5th.
Yay!
So let's see if you are less tired then.
One can hope.
But just remember, everybody, we record the show on average every Wednesday. And we've been doing that almost continuously for 9 years now.
I love how you put that.
Which part?
On average. That was awesome.
We have skipped some time.
No, it's a perfect explanation.
Also, we did the show on Mondays for a while and Tuesdays. We've been doing Wednesdays for a while now, but we didn't start out on Wednesdays.
No, I like it.
Yep. So until next time.
Bye, folks.